Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we have a special guest in the studio,
Boy,
Bill.
Do we ever. A couple of special guests. Mike Royko was hands down the best columnist this city has ever seen. And you can ask any columnist who's written for the Tribune or the Sun-Times
right.
or the Daily News, and they'll all tell you Mike Royko was the guy. Now, a book about a side of Mike Royko that you probably are not familiar with, the love affair that he had with his wife, Carol. Here in studio with us right now is their child, David Royko, and Joby Cerny, who does the audio component of the book, Royko in Love. Guys, thanks for being here.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
What I just said is something I imagine you've heard 1,000 times in your life, if not more. Your dad was the best that ever was when it came to being a columnist for a paper here.
Yeah, it was a different era. In the second half of the 20th century, there's nobody who could compare to him. And if you think about it, he wrote for 34 years, 5 days a week.
My God.
Yeah, that's... That's just beyond belief.
And never seemed to be grasping for story ideas either.
No. And you know, for him, it was a job. You know, he felt like, just like any other working man, he got up every day and he did the job. But the problem was, or the difference was with him, is he was a genius. I mean,
yeah.
he was a great writer, he was a great thinker, but he had a work ethic that you know, is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And the work ethic, we don't see a lot of that. I know millennials get blasted for things, but really, your father did work so hard. I can't imagine all those columns and still coming up with things day after day.
Yeah. He never let it down. In fact, and the funny thing is, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of the last column he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And he always hated the idea of, he hated columnists' last columns, farewell columns. He just thought they were sappy. And he always said, when he writes his last column, he's just going to write a column, and the last line is going to be, oh, by the way, this is my last column. Oh, thanks, but nice. The thing was, though, he wrote a column, then he went to Florida for a vacation, and that's where he had the aneurysm that killed him. And so he, in a way, I mean, he got what he wanted. He didn't know that he was writing his last column when he wrote the column. And that's going to be 20 years next month, actually.
Wow.
Remind me, I know he wrote for the Sun-Times, and I know he wrote for the Tribune at different times, of course. Did he also write for any of the other papers here in town?
Well, yeah, the love of his life, newspaper-wise, was the Chicago Daily News.
It was.
And he started there in 1959 as a reporter, and started the column there in 63.
Yeah.
And he was there until the paper folded in 1978, and then he went naturally to the Sun-Times, because they were owned by the same, by Marshall Field. And then when Rupert Murdoch bought the Sun-Times in 1983, my father said, I'll never write for a Rupert Murdoch rag. And his famous statement was, no self-respecting fish would be wrapped in a Rupert Murdoch rag.
Wow. Not a fan, huh?
And he walked across the street to the Tribune. And the Tribune had been trying to get him forever.
I'm sure.
And all of a sudden, he just, you know, thanks to Rupert Murdoch, Dad fell in the lap of the Trib. And so from 1984 until he died in 97, he wrote for the Trib.
Aside from being one of our finest columnists, you'd be hard-pressed to name a guy that's more Chicago in flavor than your dad was.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was born and bred in Chicago. He was the term he used to describe himself was a flat above the tavern youth. His father, owned and ran a tavern. The family lived on the second floor.
Yeah.
And he was tending bar from the time he was 12. And it wasn't just a matter of tending bar. It was like he was the bag man. He would be giving the payoffs to the cops. He would be, handling the mafia guys who would come in for their chunk. He grew up knowing the city, and he knew the bullies, he knew the people who were having a rough time, and he knew the stars, he knew everybody who came through Chicago because this is what he did. He was a typical atypical Chicago guy. I mean, he soaked it up, and he really knew the city.
All right, so Royko in Love is compounded of a bunch of love letters that he wrote to your mother. How does that differ from his columns? Was he a great writer back then? Romantic?
Well, the great thing is about these letters to me is he was already Mike Royko. And the thing was, he and my mother grew up together in the same neighborhood. She was... Yeah, it's funny. Everybody, who knows Mike Royko knows Mike Royko. But my mother was an extraordinary woman, and she, my father fell in love with her when he was 8 years old. But he was always a geeky sort of. He didn't have any self confidence, and they were best friends. But she never knew that he was head over heels in love with her, and so he was about to go off to Korea, and he goes over and he's going to confess his love to my mother, who is they were she was still a teenager at that point, and she said, greeted him at the door saying, by the way, Mike, Larry just proposed I'm getting married. And his heart sank, and he didn't say a word. He went to Korea, and he talks about this in these letters. And then he gets transferred when the war is ending to Blaine, Washington, in the northwest tip of the U.S. And he writes a letter back and gets a letter back from mom saying, by the way, the marriage was a mistake. This is not even a year later. Larry and I are getting a divorce. Mm. So the next letter, and this is, you know, this is really where the letters start in the book. The previous letters to the whole family, just a joking around letter. Then mom responds with this news. And that's where the gates open. He says, I've loved you forever, and I know I don't stand a chance of marrying you, because she was a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She was smart. She had everything going for her. And her letter back to him, I don't have her letters, but clearly she didn't discourage him. Didn't say, oh, I feel the same way. But whatever she said just fueled the fire. And that's where there's 114 letters, and they basically go from him wooing her till he then gets a leave and goes back to Chicago, proposes to her, comes back, and then between that time and when he goes back and they get married, then there's like all the letters that he can't believe that she's going to marry him, and you can tell that he's afraid it's going to end. And then the last segment of letters, he comes back from the wedding, and then yeah, at that point he's basically working toward getting a discharge.
Sure.
And he transferred to O'Hare before it was a commercial airport. So that's the story of the letters. It's really the story of my father going from pining for my mother to winning her heart to them getting married, all in the course of 9 months.
What a love story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a story you were familiar with, David, before you did research for the book? Did you already know this story or not?
Well, that's funny. My mother, the guy, her first husband is the guy who proposed to her and she married was Larry Wozni. And I remember I was about 12 or 13 years old. My mother sat me down with my grandmother and said, okay, I've got a story to tell you, but you cannot ever mention this to anybody, especially your father. Because to that day, the name Larry Wozni would... My father never got over it.
Right.
And so she told me the whole story of everything I just told you. She told me that whole story. And I was like, oh, my
God. At 12.
Yeah, and I didn't know that she'd ever been married before. This is all. And so.
No kids by Larry.
No kids. Right? No, okay. Nothing.
They were only married a year.
Yeah. And so I knew about it. But the thing was, that was when I was 12. And so when my father died, I was in my 30s. And by that time, and my mother died when I was 20 years old. She died of a cerebral aneurysm, here today, gone tomorrow kind of thing. So that was 1979. So my father died in 1997. The one and only time I ever heard about the letters and about Larry Wozni was that one conversation. And so it was almost like I was starting to wonder, do I remember it correctly? And then after he died, his wife, Judy, sent over a bunch of boxes from the basement of old things. I'm going through it, and all of a sudden I find this folder, and I pull out a letter, and I realize, oh, my God, these are the letters.
Yeah.
My mother had always saved them, and then when she died, my father must have, he saved them. And so I knew about the letters. I almost didn't really believe they existed until all of a sudden there they were. And it was just the way she had described it.
That is unreal.
Yeah.
That really is. Is it weird looking at your parents? And I know as a 12-year-old kid, it's lovely to see that they're in love, but it's also going, ew. Did you have any weird feelings about that? Or by this time when you found the letters, it was like, this is just truly a love story?
Well, by the time I found the letters, it felt like a miracle.
Yeah.
And, but when she first, the thing that just blew my mind when I was 12 was that she had been married to another guy before dad. I mean, that was
just... That's a jolt, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
It wasn't like it was a trauma, but it was just a shock.
Because if
you knew my mother, I mean, that was the last thing you'd think, that my mother had had another husband. And again, it was... She got married. What I didn't realize until I was going through the stuff researching the letters, I found a picture of her on the wedding day, and it said the date of the wedding, and I realized it was her 18th birthday.
Wow.
She got married to Larry. And so
too young.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I tried to do some research asking some family members who'd been around what it was that split them up. And my aunt, who's not around anymore, she said, I don't really know. She says, I remember hearing something about bad checks.
That's oh, all. Really?
But you know, and I tried to find somebody who was related to Larry when I was doing the research. Nobody
no luck.
Didn't turn anybody. So if anybody knows Larry Wozni, who is of Chicago and who would have married my mother in the 1951. Get in touch.
Yeah.
Please, let me know.
What you said is true, David. Your mother was an incredibly striking woman, but it's very hard for me. The Mike Royko that's in my head is your dad in his 50s and into his 60s.
Yeah.
So to see a young version of him is very jarring.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. People sometimes say when they see the picture, oh, my God, he looks like Sean Penn.
He does.
He does. He really does. More attractive Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Well, he
very
would have
handsome.
Been thrilled. Well, see, he would have... When you read the letters, you realize he didn't feel like he was handsome. He felt like he was the geekiest guy.
Well, in comparison to your mom's beauty, do you mean, or just overall? Yeah.
Well, I think overall, but especially, I mean, my mom was the, describing her and her beauty and all that, I'm afraid sometimes it makes it feel like she was, that's all she was. She was, I mean, she skipped 2 years in high school. She got, you know, she could have had a full ride at Northwestern University, mm-hmm. you know, for free at age 16. She turned it down because the only major they offered her to get into the was home ec. And my mother was not interested in home ec.
Yeah.
Think about that, Northwestern University in the late 1940s.
Yeah.
It's home ec. But, so she was really, you know, my father wouldn't fall for just somebody who is very, very beautiful.
Right.
I mean, she had it all. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a love story that I really never get over.
The book is called Royko in Love, Mike's Letters to Carol. His son David is the author, and we'll come back and discuss this more. And then Joby Cerny is here. He does the audio book, and we'll do some readings if that's okay with all of
sure.
you.
Beautiful.
All right, we'll pick that up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on David Royko is here. His dad is the legendary Mike Royko, and the book is called Royko in Love, Mike's Letters to Carol. It tells the story, the little known story of the love affair between our greatest columnist and his wife, Carol. Joby Cerny also here. Joby, explain your involvement in this. How did you come to fall into this storyline?
Well, I'm an actor, and I've been an actor for a long time, and I thought I could do a credible part with Mr. Royko.
So you were already aware, of course, of Mike's his speech patterns, his voice.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
It's not so, you're not doing an impression of Mike. It's a tribute to Mike, right?
It is. Yeah. It is.
Are we going to read something? Is there something that you guys
have? Give me the intro for the Duckman.
Oh sure. Mike, just a little part right here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Bob Duckman was, Joby's going to read a letter that refers to Bob Duckman. And at the time, Bob Duckman was my mother's brother. He was mm-hmm. my Uncle Bob. And he was also an undertaker.
Oh.
So.
All right.
Okay.
Hi, folks. Another year and another letter from the Bad Penny. I'm now stationed in Washington, 7 miles from the Canadian border. It's great up here. They have weekly barn dances, and during our time off, we can chase rabbits or carve names in redwood trees. Nothing like a social life. The next time I get a leave, I'll probably arrive home wearing buckskins and carrying a flintlock rifle. The Air Force seems determined to keep me separated from civilization. The local farmers are friendly, though. They probably reckon I'll give him a mite of help with the spring plowing. I guess I should apologize for not coming over during my leave, but I lost so much weight in Korea that I thought Bob might not recognize me and toss me in a pine box. I had a pleasant leave, but it flew by so quickly that I didn't get around as much as I would have liked to, and I spent a part of it traveling back and forth from Washington. Needless to say, I left Korea somewhat gaunt, but still intact. The first condition I attribute to bully beef and dehydrated potatoes we lived on, the second to the fact that on guard duty, when sighting a Korean, I yelled help instead of halt. All in all, it was pretty interesting. But if they ever want me to go back there again, three of us, will arrive at the dock. Me and the two cops who will have to escort me. I'll probably take another leave this summer, so you can expect me to pop in then. I've been here 4 days now, and I haven't let the family know where I am, so I'll close now and give them a buzz on the phone. When you have time, drop me a line. Mountain Man Mick.
And I'll say one thing about, you asked me if he was Mike Royko yet.
Yeah.
And the thing was, Dad was, as I said before, he considered himself a working man, and he always wrote with purpose. And I really feel like these letters, he was already, you know, I mean, he was a guy who never went to college. He barely graduated high school, and he was already, great at writing. And I think this is writing for a purpose like he never had before.
Right.
I mean, this is writing. This was a letter before the actual letters to my mother started. This is a letter where she responded and said, I'm getting a divorce.
Yeah. You know, it's so obvious there. So I'm guessing your dad at that point was probably right around 20, 21, 22.
21 years old.
21. Even as a 21-year-old, he already understood how to paint a picture, how to come at something with a certain attitude. And that was at 21 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah, he was. Well, and it's amazing when I went through the letters, all the various people who would be quoting. He was quoting, not even citing it as Beethoven, but from Beethoven's Immortal Beloved. Mm. He was citing Schopenhauer. He was saying, I mean, here's a guy who, he wouldn't have graduated high school if it weren't for the fact that he went to Central Y after getting kicked out of several high schools, and he liked it because it was a lot of GIs returning and he could smoke into the classroom. That's why he finished high school. So,
and it's one thing for him to tell you these stories, but isn't it something else to read it in his writing and with his thoughts right there? How emotional were you when you were reading these?
Well, it was to see Dad. I mean, I was in my 30s when I found these letters, and I'm reading Dad at 21, 22 years old. So all of a sudden, here I am in my 30s as a solid adult reading him when he's basically just coming out of being a kid. And that's the thing about hearing Joby read these too, because a couple of people have said, well, does he sound like your dad? And I said, well, the fact is, I don't know what Dad sounded like when he was 21.
Right.
I knew what he sounded like after a lifetime of drinking and smoking. You know, he had a very deep voice.
Yes, he did.
And so, how Joby sounds, sure. That's maybe how Dad sounded at age 21. You know, it's...
I'm sure you've thought about this. This would make for a great movie.
Oh,
you already know that.
Oh, I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, and...
The last guy to play your dad, I think, in a movie was John Belushi.
You're right.
Right.
You're right. Continental Divide.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Belushi punched me in the movie.
He did, didn't he? I forgot you were in that.
That's
you were in Continental
right.
Divide.
Yeah.
Wow. So everything does tie in, doesn't it?
There's a full circle thing
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something.
Well,
that part,
Wow.
This would make just an unbelievable movie. We were talking off the air about this, too. Your mom and your dad grew up together. She married someone else. That marriage only lasted a year. It really is perfect for a beautiful love story and so perfect for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
It's and also, we're coming up on the 20th anniversary of Dad passing, and that's another thing that sort of makes it all the more poignant for me personally at this point.
What are the odds, though, really, that she's just married a year? Wasn't it difficult to get a divorce and stuff back then?
You know, that has also gone over a little bit in the book, and because nobody was around by the time I found these letters. There's nobody to ask questions about the details, and there's little references of things that really piqued my curiosity. Some problems with the divorce, but the thing was also, once again, Dad had a wisdom. He had an understanding of how things worked. I mean, that's the thing. He'd been a bartender since he was 12. He understood how you'd go about doing things, who you would talk to. You know, he was advising her on her money, and how to take care of stuff and how to get a loan and things like that. You know, he was a worldly guy already. You know,
as a testament to your dad's staying power, I can't tell you how many times in the last 6 months or 8 months I've thought about, with everything that's going on politically, how your dad and or Slat Skrobnik would have treated the situation that we're all living through right now. It would have been very interesting to read what he wrote about those things.
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine.
Ay-ay-ay-ay.
And the thing is, I'm often asked, what would your father say about this? And people often think they might have some idea, but the thing was that made Dad so brilliant is, no matter what, he was very hard to predict what he would say about something, but by the time you were done with the column, you certainly got it. And if he didn't change your opinion, you certainly had a different view of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Very effective.
Guys, congratulations. The book is a must-read. It's Royko in Love, Mike's Letters to Carol. David Royko, who is Mike's son and Carol's son, did a bang-up job on it, and Joby Cerny is involved in the audio portion of the book. Both are available right now, correct, guys?
Audible.com is the Amazon, too, is the audio book. And then, yeah, this is on the book's on University of Illinois, or University of Chicago Press.
Beautiful. Thank you, guys.
Congrats.
Greatly appreciated. A quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.